38 DXQ, listen.
K8DAC, repeat Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw. K8DAC, repeater Saginaw. Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw. K8DAC, repeater Saginaw. K8DAC, repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw. K8DAC, repeater Saginaw. K8DAC, repeater Saginaw. Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw.
KBC-YVS Mobile.
K8DAC, repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw.
KC8YVF Mobile. KC8YVF Mobile.
K8DAC, repeater Saginaw.
ABARCR, listening.
K8DAC, repeater Saginaw. Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw.
AC8YVF monitoring.
K8DAC, repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw.
KC8YVF monitoring.
K8DAC, repeater Saginaw. Welcome to the SVARA repeater in Saginaw.
KC8YVF, KCBOA. Good evening, Rick. I'm just sitting here in the family room watching the TV. And if anybody was out there tonight, I am throwing my call out as much as I can and give the repeater some use. Very good. Very good. I heard you out there earlier, but wasn't able to get back to you. Yep, not a whole lot going on here. Just keeping busy with little odds and ends. Yeah, didn't do anything tonight. Came home, helped finish up cooking dinner. Wife had started it, and I finished it up and cleaned up the dishes and did a couple of casts in the basement, and now up just watching a little TV for a couple hours here, and then it's off to bed and back to work.
Yep, two Mondays in the same week, that fun, is it?
Nope, yeah, yesterday kind of threw me off for the week. Having a day off in the middle of the week, it's come back, and tonight was felt like a Monday to me, like yesterday was Sunday, and tonight was a Monday, and I'm thinking, oh, we got net tonight. No, it's Thursday, it's not net night, so. But we do have club meeting tomorrow night, and I got to remember that, because I'll end up forgetting that. So I went down and got the computer for the presentation tomorrow and got a few other things together and have them sitting out in the living room so I don't forget to take them tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's easy enough getting out of work and your mind happens to be on something else and it just kind of slips your mind that, geez, what's going on tonight?
Oh, I know. I was thinking, well, tonight was also Midlands meeting, but they moved it to 1 week later. Normally it's the week before, or the day before ours, but I guess they're doing theirs next Thursday. They got their club dinner that they do at the Red Oak restaurant in Sanford for kind of their Christmas dinner thing. So a bunch of the club members get together like we do the potluck.
Yeah, they changed location over the years. They used to do it out there on Gordonville Road.
Yeah, I don't know what about that one at least. I know last year they did it out in Sanford, and I was talking to Mike. I said, I think I went with you to that one. He said, yeah, you did. So I said, well, I may go to this one too. Since he's a club member, they do a bring a gift thing type of thing and do an exchange. And I said, well, if I do, I won't be doing that. I don't expect one. I don't want to give one either, but I said I may just go along to the dinner to see what happens on a Thursday night. But got a hold of my brother tonight. They just got back from their daughter's house, and I haven't seen them. They haven't been up to my house in a couple of years, just with their schedule and our schedule. So they normally head down to Florida for a month. They've been doing that for the last several years. They rent a house for the month, get out of the cold weather, and so I said, well, if you got a weekend or a day, you know, one day on the weekend, I got everything but the end of the week. He said, yeah, they leave the end of February for Florida. And I said, well, we got winter field day anyhow. So they're going to stop by on Sundays at 12. So get to see them for once.
Well, that's good. You got to do it while you can. You got to do it while you can. You know, I got one that lives in Midland that I don't see very often at all, and hopefully I'll see him here next month. We're trying to get together a breakfast up at Riverside. Or no, we're going to actually do it at Sanford there at my cousin's house.
Yeah, my brother only lives in Schwartz Creek right off on I-75 and Hill Road, so they're only 40 minutes away as well, but they're usually with, they got two daughters, four grandkids, so there's always something going on. And they've got a place up in Traverse City, so that weekend of the 12th, they're going to be going up to check on the place, make sure everything's okay before they leave for Florida. So they'll stop back here on Sunday. They got to come basically by here when they come back, so. Yeah, even though we're only 40 minutes apart, we can see them like twice a year.
Yep, isn't that something, how that goes? You know, I've got a sister who lives, a mile away? And sometimes unless I say something, I don't see her. Yeah. We probably probably see each other more at church than we do any other place.
Yeah, when we were growing up, we would spend Thanksgivings together, Christmas together, and all that. But once we had kids, then, or even when we had the kids, we would do that because that's all we had. But once kids grew up and got married and had kids of their own, they got in-laws to go to and other people's houses to go to and aunt's house to go to. So, yeah, like my son-in-law and daughter, it's kind of like they'll come for Thanksgiving, but they got to go do dessert at the aunt's house and the other things at his brother's house and somebody else's house. So they have like four meals that day. They do appetizers at one place, dinner at another, dessert at another, and yeah, tough on them to be able to do that. So that's the way it goes. I know as everybody gets older, everything, the families get spread out a little bit more, but. Yeah, so I was just relaxing tonight, and like I said, well, wrote a call out here, see if somebody on the radio. I actually got somebody on the 220. I just got an HT in the basement hooked up to an outdoor antenna, and I was talking to somebody from Bay City on the 220 a week ago.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Need to get a little more activity on there, that's for sure. I need to build myself a mic cable and get mine back on the air.
Yeah, I had to do that with my HF rig, my new Yaesu that I got. I got a boom mic, and of course the mic cable for it's about a foot too short of routing to the radio. So I had to build a RJ-245 connector. So I male to male and then put a female in between, but I went to turn it on a week or so ago, and the radio, as soon as I turned it on, the radio keyed up. And I had turned it off, unplug everything, plug back in, turn it on, the radio keyed up. So I said, the cable just sits there. It doesn't get moved, but for some reason it got shorted. And I could see if that was, you know, moving around or something, but the cable just sits in one place and hasn't been moved since I bought the radio over a year ago. But, yeah, I'm like, what the heck happened there?
Well, it starts deteriorating as soon as it's made. That's the bad part about it.
I guess so. I know, I had one of my Yaesu radio cords. It was in a box that I used, and I opened up to use it, and the cord's basically all in pieces. The rubber deteriorated and fell all off the wires underneath. So I got a line head. I bought a couple new ones, one to replace that one, and I got another in case something else. But whatever it was kind of bad construction on that one in the first place, because I haven't had any problems with my other, or it was the Lenco radios, and I got them in the cars, in the van, in the car, we got them at the 911 in the hospital, all the same radios, and they never had a problem, but this one mic, just cable and rubber on it, just totally, it turned powdery and fell all off.
Well, that's not the case with my Elenco. That's what I'm looking at right now. And the cable, the mic cable is deteriorated and it's all falling off.
Yeah, sometimes you wonder of the build quality on some of these, where they come from and how they're made and that stuff. Even the better Japanese stuff are that way, and I think a lot of the Japanese stuff is probably made in China in the first place. They're just designed in Japan, but not manufactured. A lot of those parts for the mics or whatever, probably in China anyhow.
Yeah, and there's some stuff that's got a plasticized rubber coating on it, and it starts getting tacky after a while. It gets real sticky, and you have to clean that up, get rid of that stickiness. You got to work to get it cleaned up. I spent a little time cleaning one of the radios up. It took a while, but I got it cleaned up, and it's good. good for now, but it's not going to stay that way. That's the deterioration of the product.
What do you use to clean that up with?
Right or wrong, I used acetone. And that's what I worked with. It was acetone to clean it up. I tried alcohol. Alcohol wasn't working real good. So the acetone worked a little better, and eventually I got it cleaned up. You got to be real careful around some plastic parts with the acetone, though.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Because of that, I've had a few different things do that. One of them was just I have a battery-operated tire pressure monitor gauge that I use in my red bike, and I replace the batteries in it and that, but the handle, it fits in the bike. I bring it in the house in the wintertime, and then I put it back in the bike during the summer, and it was plastic, but I pulled it out last year, and the whole thing's all sticky. Like I said, it was deteriorating, so I ended up using alcohol to try and do it, and that did a fairly good job. I tried actually a little mixture of WD-40. I actually cleaned it up the best, and then I went back over it with the alcohol, and it seemed to clean it up pretty good. But I said, if there was something better, yeah, I haven't tried anything like that. And I know acetone, they suggest using the acetone vapors. I was reading for some of the 3D printing. The smooth, especially on ABS, is supposed to work well. And when I had just printed my winder, I got just a little bit of, not really stringing, almost like a little fine hair off of it. And what everybody suggested was to, just take a lighter and just kind of go over it, and it burns those right off instantly to clean them up. But they said if you want a smoother finish, you have a bowl of acetone and a grate over the top, and go lay the part over the top and let the acetone vapors will take out all of the print lines in it and give you basically a silky smooth finish. So I don't even have anything. I asked the wife, does any of your fingernail polish still have acetone in it? She says, oh no, I don't have any of that anymore. Yeah, it's still available over at Menards. You can get a quart of it or a gallon even if you wanted to. Your body actually naturally releases some acetone as well. So I used acetone when I was in high school to actually fuse together plexiglass. Okay, yeah, wouldn't have thought of that, but yeah, I guess that's it. Like I said, I've been reading on that. Same thing now, I've tried Bamboo makes a new TPU filament that's for the AMS. It's got a harder, it's a 68D hardness to it. So I tried it. I tried to print out some feet. I printed that spool winder, and they made feet for it that were supposed to be a TPU, but it's so stiff, it's not rubbery or anything. It's so stiff, it's more like a PETG, basically. So I found some Sunlu. Basically, it's an 8-pack of kind of like starter spools. It's a quarter spool of Sunlu TPU, so that's supposed to be here. I ordered it through Amazon. That's supposed to be here in about a week or so, and I said, well, going to do some experimenting with that, and that way I didn't spend a whole lot. I didn't want all the colors, but that was the cheapest way. It was cheaper to buy the 8 spools than it was to buy 1 spool of a normal, the 1 kilogram size. So that was it. I've been doing a reading a lot of that, and some of the suggestions and chemicals and stuff for smoothing with that too. So a little bit of a learning curve.
Well, my TPU printing has been pretty limited. I've printed a couple gaskets for a box, and that's been about it. And I bought 1 spool. I bought it from Matter Hackers, and that's what I've been using. I haven't done anything different. Understand it's very hygroscopic, so you got to keep it dry. So that's what been my experience with TPU.
Yeah, I know I can't use the regular TPU in my AMS. It won't go through there because it just clogs it. It's not hard enough. So I got to run it from the spool, spool holder on the back of the printer, or they suggest if you have a dryer, run it from the dryer. So that's what I will do. I've got one of the Creality dual filament dryers that I've been drying the filament with, and it has a tube in the top where you can put a tube in the top, a hole to put a tube in, and I can feed it right from there into the printer. So I will try that actually and see, but like I said, these are little quarter rolls. But I wanted to print some feet for this, but like I said, they were so hard, I was hoping it would be a little more rubbery. So I said, well, this will be an experiment to do that. My ABS turned out really well. I was surprised that that got, like I said, not really stringy, just these little hairs, and those cleaned right up. And the parts printed very well on it. I was pleased with that. It's not quite as good as the PETG or the PLA as far as the quality, but I just used the standard filament or the profiles for it. I didn't try and tune them in any better, and they printed well, so I'm satisfied with that.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I understand warping gets to be a big problem with ABS. I have not tried ABS or ASA, and I want to do some ASA, but I'm concerned about off-gassing, and I don't have a filter system for it, and I'd have to somehow either get it plumbed outdoors or something of that nature to make sure that not releasing a bunch of poisonous fumes.
Yeah, that's what I did. Like I said, I bought two things while the enclosed printer helped a whole lot. I bought that bento box. It basically is just a carbon filter, a HEPA filter, and two fans that pull air once it reaches. I have a set once it reaches with a thermostat. Once it reaches a certain temperature, it turns the fans on, and it'll draw air from the top through the two filters and then exhaust it out the bottom so it circulates it. And then the printer itself has a carbon filter that goes on the back of the printer after they exhaust the air from the chamber out. But there was a mod to do that where it splits instead of just carbon. I got a HEPA filter and a carbon filter, and it filters it again a second time before it exhausts out the printer. And we have an air filter, a carbon HEPA filter that is in our room in the family room. Well, I took it down the basement and turned that on high. So between the three, and then I also have a dehumidifier. Of course, it's not pulling any moisture out because the furnace is on, but it does circulate air. So between the two internals and those two external type of devices, my air quality monitor, I had no difference than when I wasn't printing anything, when it was just the normal air.
KADAC, repeater Saginaw.
KCAPOA. Yeah, this will be my last go around. I'm going to have to go upstairs and take care of myself. Yeah, it's just all experimental. Just keep working at it till you get something figured out, and once you get it and you find out what works for you, just keep using it. And I think printing different objects makes a difference sometimes too, whether or not you can get away with supports or no supports and so forth, and getting everything dialed in where it prints just right. So that was one of the concerns. I know ABS, they recommend an enclosure on it and be able to maintain the heat in there at the proper temperature to help minimize warping and everything else. And that's something I'll have to look at. And I'm looking at building an enclosure. KCAPOA, over to KCYVF.
Yeah, I know. I saw a lot of people have done that for these that have open printers built. Just wooden enclosure with plexiglass around it to do that, something of that line. But yeah, the wife was up in the basement the other day. I didn't have the printer on, but I had the air quality monitor on, and she had painted before I got home. She was doing some just spray painting in the basement, and she was in the shop, and she did turn on the air filter in there, which is more of a dust collection filter. It's not a, it just filters the dust and particles and that, but it doesn't have any carbon or HEPA in it. And she turned that on at least, but I went down the basement, I looked at the air quality monitor, and all of the settings were still in the green, but they were much, much higher than when I was printing any of the ABS or anything else. So I said, yeah, you go down there, you got to make sure you wear a mask, or better yet, wear my respirator that I have in the shop, and it, to do that, because the printer really didn't move the numbers, but the paint particles and that from the spray paint sure did. So, all right, Rick, yeah, my battery's about to die on the HD, so good time in there, too. So, 73, we'll talk later. We'll see you tomorrow night. KC8YVF with KC8 be away.
73, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night. KC8 be away.
K8DAC, repeater Saginaw. This is the Saginaw Valley Amateur Radio Association repeater in Saginaw.